Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Okay, Faisal, we talked about the markets this past week. We've listened to Philip give us sort of the setup of the year and how it's progressed so far, and then going forward, some thoughts on positioning here. The fact of the matter is, things people are worried. Things are bouncing around. This is when people get tense. I want to talk a little bit about structure. I want to talk about discipline, and ultimately I want to talk about the opportunity that this kind of volatility and these kind of markets represent, because we're not so far removed from some volatility that we saw only a year ago, which presented some amazing, amazing opportunities. So let's pick it up from there. Talk to me a little bit about the environment right now, the volatility, and then let's put it in terms of what opportunities this is going to present.
So let's kind of do a quick 30-second recap of what Philip was talking about when he said the opportunities on the equity side outweigh the opportunities in the fixed income or cash opportunities. So that's one thing to think about. That's the asset allocation. The second part that he talked about was owning an index where it's heavily weighted to a small percentage of companies that have been really overvalued or pushed up in price for a very long time poses a high risk. So active management versus passive management is what Philip is saying. And I like when we talked about the emerging markets, because we're invested in the emerging markets in our core growth portfolio, and that has underperformed as well. I liked what Philip said when he said, I'm not looking at this over a 3-month or even a 6-month time frame. It's 12-month time frames that we look at, similar to our approach, 12-month periods. There's going to be opportunities there. So let's take a look at where things have gone well, the equity market, where things haven't gone well, let's go emerging market, and let's go fixed income. That tells me that there's going to be opportunities in all three of those areas that we can start chipping away at, but we have to have a different lens on. It just can't be throw it in an index and let's see everything ride up, because I think there's going to be bigger risk in that situation.
Yeah, and so let's talk, I think you're right, let's talk a little bit about inflation. You and I talk all the time about a number of things, but with respect to inflation, people are concerned, right? This is the headline we see. Inflation's going higher, right? Things have to go lower. That's not true. There's lots of different ways companies' strategies to take advantage of to profit from rising inflation. Let's talk about some of that so people get an idea of what we're talking about on where to look for opportunity.
So I start off with, I always use my father as a barometer. When he calls me up and says, Faisal, have you looked at the prices of the pump? Oh my God, prices are going up, and the price of the grocery store, things are up there. Oh my God. That starts off understanding where the impact is on an individual. So when they start seeing all their prices going up, now they want their portfolio to go up faster than that so they don't lose on purchasing power. Then they start worrying about how do you make money if everything is going up in price? Now, there are two camps of this when you look at companies. Company A will either have to, first of all, raise price and have less number of sales. So they have to raise the price, give it to the customer, not as much sales will come in, so they're going to have less sales. So they're going to either break even on the same year-over-year earnings, or they're going to take a bit of a hit. Those are concerns you have to look for. The second category are companies that can make money, raise prices if they have to, and pass those prices on to the customer where the customer will absorb it. And those are companies that you want to look for in the investment world. If they can raise prices, and I'm not the only one who thought of this. In fact, if you look going back to Benjamin Graham or even Warren Buffett in recent history, said you always want to buy companies that have the purchasing opportunities on their side. They can raise prices and it will not impact the number of business customers or sales that they're getting. And you've seen many companies that are able to do that. This is why active management works, Dave. I think this is where we have to shift our mindset as investors and not just look at the market and not just look at an index, and let's look at being more specific, and here's where the opportunity lies, because people are gonna sell stocks thinking inflation going up, sell out stuff, get out of there. And that's where I love this part of the market, when people start selling for dumb reasons and I get to come in and scoop them up at cheaper prices.
Yeah, and this is the point that I want to make, is there's a rise in volatility. we can't forget, volatility is scary for people, we get it. You're looking at your portfolio, it's going up and down in value, so on and so forth, on the short periods of time. But volatility always presents opportunity. And this is why I keep going back to, you know, I talk about structure and discipline as being the two great superpowers that an investor has, right? So if you've got a time frame, I'm not speaking to the day traders here, but if you've got a time frame that allows you to look for good companies, okay, companies that have pricing power, as you're saying, I can price my product and raise prices through this and gain market share and make more profit versus the company who has to cut costs or absorb those higher costs, cut their profit, right? Those are the companies you don't want to own. So when you get volatility and you can find those companies that have that pricing power, a product in demand, are growing market share, you can make tons of money in this environment, particularly like last year, if people sell those, if it's a baby with the bathwater kind of a thing. We sell everything out of fear. There's your opportunity to jump on that. And I also want to go back to what Philip said in the fixed income market. You can't abandon the notion of risk. Okay, so I caution people to think about, yes, there is opportunity in the equity markets. We talk about all these things, but you've got to go back to your goals and objectives. It is not a reason to abandon fixed income. There is money to be made in fixed income. I agree. Not the kind of money that was made last year, but there is positioning in fixed income that can allow you to reduce volatility, maintain your risk, get cash flow, right? Have that airbag in your portfolio. So structure also becomes an important piece of the puzzle here.
Let's take structure to one more level up, Dave, because there are many, many Canadians who are relying on a growth type of portfolio to live off of in retirement. And because there's a lot of people in our industry or do-it-yourself investors that just stick to one type of investment, one type of company or portfolio, and they tell you to ride it out. And if you're not on the side of being active, then you will have to live with the volatility and the cycle that it takes to get back to normal. Now, if you're drawing on your portfolio at the same time you're going through this cycle, congratulations to higher risk and higher volatility in your retirement. That's unnecessary. So let's take structure one more place up. And this is why we time and time again talk about a separate income bucket, looking to protect your income for the next 10 years. You don't have to worry about inflation today if you've got 10-year money banked in there. You have to worry about what you're going to do with your money, not what your money doing for you. And there's the opportunity I think that people have to have right now, is they can go back and they can say, hey, let's look into the opportunities for an ongoing cash flow, but still have a growth mechanism separate from my cash flow that I need to live on.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And then when you've got a longer term horizon, again, in that income bucket, we did exceptionally well in fixed income last year in that income bucket. We actually had growth in the income bucket. So even if there is a pause for a 12-month period and we get a lower rate of return, right, on average those 2 years, you're still meeting or exceeding those objectives. And so I think it's really important, as Philip said, as you've said, and as I'm going to repeat, that we look more than beyond a 3-month period, even a 12-month period. You need a bigger strategy in place.
And that's why we have these types of seminars every single month, to kind of walk people through how to bulletproof their retirement. And we're going to do it again this month on Tuesday, May 18th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
We look forward to seeing you at that seminar if you choose to join us. And listen, I want to thank you for taking the time to spend some time with us and join us for another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR. Faisal and I will join you again next week. We look forward to it.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.